The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you, beloved community, from the triune God whose embodied promises journey with you. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. This is one of the most popular verses in the Bible. One we have seen in some interesting places, under football star Tim Tebow's eyes, on Forever 21 shopping bags, even on the bottom of a Burger chain's paper cups. John 3:16 is apparently a very popular choice for passwords. It was referred to by Martin Luther as the gospel in miniature. And it's been frequently referenced in both Christian and secular media. Biblical preaching professor, the Reverend Dr. Caroline Lewis, states in her commentary on John, and I quote, that to preach on this verse will seem like tinkering with constructs of faith so embedded and beholden that a preacher might ignore it altogether. That's very tempting. But I decided to instead employ a strategy that Dr. Lewis recommended, which is to place this verse back into its literary context. And so you heard a longer passage from John today than what was suggested in our lectionary. I hope when I finish this sermon that at least for a little while, you and I might hear John 3:16 and think Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee a religious expert of the law, an academic, a highly educated man. These lofty credentials were only possible because of the family that he was born into. In Jesus and Nicodemus' time, birth and honor were very connected, as the family you were born into determined your life and the honor and status that you could attain. With this in mind, one can understand Nicodemus's perspective a little better in this passage from the Gospel of John. Nicodemus comes in the nighttime, in both literal and metaphorical darkness, seeking Jesus for some clarification. Nicodemus, as a religious expert, was preoccupied with the signs on what Jesus had been enacting in the community and what those signs meant with regard to Jesus' connection to God, specifically his identity and his authority. But Jesus redirects Nicodemus to a different focus, the divine necessity of being born anathen. This Greek word anathen is employed in a discussion of birth stories, with Nicodemus being stuck on physical birth and Jesus focusing on spiritual birth. Do you remember studying synonyms, antonyms, and homonyms in school? Homonyms were those words that are spelled the same but have different meanings. Things like the word ball could mean the round object you play a game with, or it could be a fancy dance or gala that you go to. Or a word like down, the opposite of up, or a feeling of unhappiness. The Greek word anathen is kind of like a homonym in that it has both a temporal meaning of anew or again, and also a spatial meaning of from above. Nicodemus's confusion lies in him thinking of anathen in only the temporal sense. How can a person be born again literally? Once you've been physically born, you cannot re-enter the womb and be born again. It's a one-time event. Jesus, on the other hand, is focusing on the spatial meaning of anathen. You must be born from above, a birth of water and spirit. And this birth is of divine origin, controlled only by a spirit who blows uncontrollably and unpredictably. This confuses Nicodemus, who doesn't seem to come to any sense of understanding in this passage. Jesus, the light of the world, is explicitly telling Nicodemus who he is and why he came, and Nicodemus seems to remain in the darkness, unable to truly see what Jesus is revealing to him. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." This story of Nicodemus reminded me of a story I heard from a man who I will call Mario. I met Mario at his home, which was precariously situated along an alley of an area of Guatemala City called La Limonada. This is an area that Guatemalans try at all costs to avoid and not enter because it's a red zone. It's a drug and gang area. But it's also home to about 60,000 men, women, and children. This is not an area you can drive into, but rather a series of very narrow alleys amongst corrugated metal homes stacked one on top of the other. And this is where I met Mario. Mario told me that he and his brother had been part of a gang. The way this particular gang made money was to go and collect taxes from the people using public buses. The people using public buses are often themselves struggling just to survive, so these bus hijackings were often timed with payday to capitalize on collecting as many taxes as possible. Mario described to us how the gang would meet and decide how to position themselves on the bus throughout these planned hijackings. They would assume different roles based on where they were located on the bus. And Mario said that on one particular day, his position was in the middle of the bus. As he got on the bus, the seat that was open in the middle was next to a young girl, maybe about 6 years old. And as the hijacking began, the little girl realized that a gang member was sitting right next to her, and he would likely rob and possibly assault her mother. So this little girl turned to Mario, opened her little purse, and said, "Please, take all the money I have. Just don't hurt my mother." Mario described how that little girl looked deeply right into his eyes. And as she gazed at him intensely, he felt something change deep inside of himself. Mario told me that something in his soul was awakened. He told me Jesus spoke to him in the words and in the eyes of that little girl who saw deep into him and who caused him to see things differently. When the gang members felt they had taken all the money and valuables from the people on the bus, they departed the bus and headed for a bar. Mario described that as he sat down at the bar, he felt overwhelmed and he began to cry. His brother, also a gang member, asked him what was wrong. And Mario told him about the encounter with that little girl and declared he was no longer able to participate in collecting those taxes. He needed to leave the gang. His brother was also deeply affected by this encounter of the story of this little girl, and he wanted to follow Mario's lead. It is extremely hard to leave a gang. I have listened to story after story of young women in La Limonada whose boyfriends, fathers, husbands were killed upon trying to leave a gang. And Mario suffered. He lost his home, his possessions, his friends, and he was severely beaten. Though rare, he and his brother survived, and they successfully left the gang. But they left with nothing, and they needed to find a way to survive without the support of the gang. With time, Mario learned how to make shoes and taught his brother and start a small business. He then turned his focus on trying to help other gang members who wanted to leave their gangs. And he continues to run a small business today, now focusing on selling food. Like Nicodemus, Mario's journey with Jesus helped him to see things differently. And he entrusted his journey to Jesus. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Though Nicodemus does not seem to understand Jesus in this passage, this is not the last time that we hear about Nicodemus in the Gospel of John. He returns two more times, once in chapter 7, where he sticks up for Jesus in front of the Pharisees, and again at the end of the Gospel of John, after Jesus has been crucified. And we will hear that story on Good Friday. Nicodemus goes with Joseph of Arimathea to take care of Jesus' body, wrapping it with linen cloths and spices and laying him in the tomb. Nicodemus continues to journey with Jesus. Disciples in the Gospel of John are less a particular group of 12 and more expansively a variety of characters, including Nicodemus. Disciples in the Gospel of John often lack understanding, though they accompany Jesus in a variety of settings and ways. Simply stated, the disciples just don't get it. They don't understand really who Jesus is or what Jesus is really saying to them. And beloved community, this is good news for you and me. The word meaning believe in the Gospel of John is always a verb. Believing is not static. It's not stationary. It is not some thing that one possesses. Rather, it's an active and ongoing way of life, a journey, a commitment. That is why some translators translate this particular Greek word as entrust rather than believe. And perhaps in our contemporary culture, entrust might be worth pondering. John 3:16 is not being put forth in this gospel as a standalone faith statement, Choose Jesus. Say you choose him. Say you have this defining moment of belief. God already gave the Son for the purpose of eternal life. And the reason was because God so loved the world of chaos, the world of unbelief. God so loved and loves those who are lost, those who are separated from God, even those who are hostile to God. God so loves all of these that God already divinely acted to make eternal life possible for all, not only beyond death, but also in our present, birthed from above reality. John 3:16 is set in the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus's spiritual journey doesn't have a clear moment of belief, but his belief as a disciple was a dynamic journey attached to Jesus. God's divine action in Jesus empowered Nicodemus's response. Jesus being lifted up on a cross, a supposed instrument of utter shame, brings utter glory and honor so that the world might be saved. This is God's ultimate embodied promise. At the end of this service, we will commend Sidney Johnston to God's eternal care, and then we will sing, Lift High the Cross. In these final parts of our liturgy this weekend, we are embodying God's promise set in today's scripture passages. We lift high the cross, exalting God as we entrust Sidney to God. Sidney was born of an Anathan birth from above, nurtured in faith and claimed by grace into God's family right here at Christ the King. Sidney was and forevermore is a child of the light, one whose deeds were done in God, one who entrusted his faith journey to Jesus. This passage reveals that God's desire is to be in deep and intimate relationship with each of us, a journey where we entrust our belief and our unbelief into Jesus. Each person's salvation journey is unique and individual, just as their encounter with Jesus is. The incarnation of Jesus might be experienced as a confusing conversation, or even as a six-year-old little girl sitting on a bus. The possibilities are really as endless as God's love. John 3:16 and Nicodemus' example are invitations for us to live an authentic life with Jesus so that Jesus' identity can be lived through us. Each and every one of you are a beloved child of the light, given a spirit birth being born from above. May the light of Christ shine through you into all the world, so that others may see the gift of Jesus that has already been given for us. Amen.